Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, grace and peace to you this Advent day from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit of God who breathes hope and peace into us. The more time you spend in God's Word, the more you read Scripture, the more you realize that God has a certain fondness for using the most unlikely characters in carrying out God's mission. It is everywhere in the Bible. Go back as far as the Old Testament, and Moses, who has a criminal record, is chosen to lead the people to freedom. King David, who should have had a criminal record, except for he was king, and nobody could put him away, and yet committed many and various crimes. The prophets were crazy, doing all kinds of wild and unimaginable things to get people to pay attention to what they had to say. Mary and Joseph were too young, right? Peter was unreliable and erratic. And today we meet this old couple who, like a few others before them, were just too old to participate in God's mission, except that they do. And so in Luke 1, we read that Zechariah was too old. His wife, Elizabeth, was too old. The gospel writer Luke puts it politely when he says they were both getting on in years. And you know what that means. They were ready for the shelf. They'd prayed for a child, probably for their whole marriage, decades. And they'd made peace with the fact that parenting was never going to be part of their story. And then one day, old Zechariah was in the temple. He's a priest carrying out his responsibility. He's praying. He's offering the sacrifice. And an angel of the Lord appears. And unlike the angels that most of us hang on our Christmas trees, if that's one of your decorations, this angel was not to be messed with. So Zechariah is terrified. It usually happens when angels show up. People are afraid. And so the first words out of angels' mouths is, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Zechariah." Guess what? Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And you will name him John. And he's going to point people to the coming of the Lord. Now, Zechariah was only able to hold his tongue for so long. And finally, he had to say, "How can this be? How can this be? We're getting on in years," I would say. And Zechariah expressed his skepticism, and the angel pointed his remote at Zechariah and pushed the mute button. And Zechariah didn't speak for 9 months, as Luke tells it. And it was only after that baby boy was born, as prophesied, as told by the angel, that Zechariah regains his speech. Now, all of these details spread around the village like wildfire. Elizabeth's pregnancy and Zechariah going mute, and people were wondering what happened. So when it came time to give birth, they all crowded around, came close to find out one question: what will become of this child? What then will this child become? And it brings all of the action in the gospel to a halt to give us time to ask that question. And it's a question anybody who's ever held a newborn, I think, in their arms has said, what will become of this child? What will God make of her? How will God be in her life? Who will she turn out to be? Will he stay safe? How can I let him know how much I love him? How can we parent him well? What then will this child become? And Zechariah erupts, Luke tells us, in prophecy inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, prophecy here again, to say it again, it's not a prediction about the future. It's speaking into reality what God is doing. And you've heard the words that Bob read for us. It's a pronouncement of the advent of God's coming through this baby boy, John, and another who John will point to, which we heard about in our gospel for today. And first, Zechariah recalls something of Israel's history, how God has kept God's covenant, how God has shown mercy, promised to our ancestors, how God has rescued us from the hands of enemies. Thousands of years is summarized in a few verses. And now Zechariah declares the Lord God is bringing to full fruition God's intention to reconcile God with God's people. God is going to do a new thing. God is starting a new... Something new is happening, and the birth of John is the fall of the first domino to make that come about. God is going to transform this world that is so badly broken. And it starts with this child who will be called the Baptist. And he will go before another to point the world to him. He will give knowledge of God's saving power by the forgiveness of sins. And John will be followed by this one who will embody forgiveness, the one who will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And there's old John writing the name down before he can speak, and soon after his mouth will be open and erupt in these prophetic words. One, our confirmation class, I would have you line and circle or copy them and put it somewhere where you can see them anytime, but especially when you might be sitting in the darkness. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. James Smith is a teacher of philosophy at a small Christian college out east. And at some point in time when he was a college student, he decided to major in philosophy and then to teach philosophy, because his thought was that the problems that face us or the problems that face God's church could be solved by careful analysis and correct thinking. If only we could get our heads screwed on straight, all would be well. Brilliant intellect, good analysis and arguments can surely save us, he thought. And then as he grew older, his mind changed. He writes, "It's not that I've given up on truth now. It's just that I'm less confident we can think our way out of the morass and malaise that we find ourselves in. Analysis just is not going to save us." These words align with something I read this past week about the pandemic. I'm not 100% sure it's true or not, but it sounds true. And that is that this pandemic is the first one in history when, after a short time, we knew how to stop it. Our researchers, our doctors, people with brilliant minds came up with solutions to the problem. But that hasn't been enough, right? It rages on. It continues to spread in waves because the problem is not so much here, it's here. What do we do with that knowledge? How do we share that knowledge? Where do we go from here? The truth of the gospel is less something to be learned, less something to get right in our brains, and more a mystery to enter. It's about God restoring our stories. It's about God helping us to use our imaginations and our knowledge to understand and enter what God is doing with us, to turn our lives towards the dawn that is breaking in upon us. Smith said that the other thing that changed his mind about thinking our way out of a malaise was a season of dark depression. None of my analytical skills helped me claw my way out of the lonely trench in which I found myself. It was a profound experience of puzzlement and bewilderment. What's happening to me? He wondered. Why am I sobbing in the middle of the afternoon? Why am I either a monster of anger or a lethargic shell? Why do my wife and children feel a million miles away, and why do I keep pushing them even farther away? Perhaps you know some of these questions firsthand. He goes on to say, all of my vocational confidence in the power of intellect and reason was humiliated in the face of my depression. I realized I couldn't think my way out of this. And most of us inevitably will at some time be sitting in the darkness or in the shadow of death and come to that same realization, I cannot extract myself from this place. I need something, or better yet, someone else who will help me out of here. Smith said what finally helped him was a Christian counselor who didn't just reach into the pit with a hand, but actually jumped down into it and walked alongside him through the darkness until he helped him find a way out. There's a scene from an old episode of the TV show The West Wing when Leo McGarry, who's the White House chief of staff with President Bartlet, is having a conversation with one of his associates, Josh Lyman, and Josh is suffering from PTSD. So Leo tells him this parable. This guy's walking down a street when he falls into a hole, and the hole is so deep and the sides so straight that there's no way the guy in the hole can get out. And so he's looking up and it's trying to holler at people pass by, and someone passes by and says, hey, get me out of here. And the guy who heard he was a doctor. The doctor wrote out a prescription, threw it in the hole, and moved on. And so it's not just to throw doctors under the bus. The next person to walk by was a pastor. Hey, Rev, help me out of here. Pastor wrote out a prayer, threw it in the hole, walked on. The guy in the hole recognized the next guy to pass by because he looked down and he said, hey, Joe, it's me, your friend. Get me out of here. So Joe jumps in the hole. And his friend says, are you stupid? Now we're both in here. He says, yeah, but I've been here before, and I know the way out. And I can help you do that. I can help you. But the tender mercy of God, the dawn from on high, will break upon us to give us light, to give light to those who are in holes, in pits, those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death. The dawn that Zechariah is talking about here, these are all caps, but it could be a capital D because the dawn is Jesus. The dawn here is another name for Jesus who comes to jump down into our lives, who leaves, as Paul reminds us in Philippians 2, who does not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but jumps down into the hole with us to join us there and to tell us, I know the way out. It's God's will that we no longer sit in darkness or the shadow of death. So here is our God, who instead of throwing a word or a book or a prayer to us, jumps down to where we are to lead us out. Here is our God, who instead of throwing us a life preserver as we are dog paddling to keep our heads above water, instead of throwing that out, jumps into the sea to bring us ashore. Here is our God, who instead of offering us a 12-week course on how to look internally and find peace, will guide our feet into the way of peace so that we might walk that way alongside him. Zechariah's baby, John the Baptizer, still points us to the dawn, capital D, the light that breaks through even the deepest darkness, that we might bask in it and live in it ourselves. Amen.